have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 89 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I'm your host, Nicola.
And I'm your other host, Chris.
And what are you drinking today then, Chris?
I'm drinking Strongbow today, Nicola. What are you drinking today?
Well, I have got a la skip to the end recommendation, Brother Cider. I normally have wild fruit and I really, really like that. And it's suitable for vegan and gluten-free people, so that's good. But I have tried Toffee Apple this time and I've had about two sips and I'm not sure what I think. You know when you have it and then you're like, oh, not sure. I'll put that down and then you don't really go back to it.
Not convinced, and yeah, that's not a good sign, really.
Oh, well, I'm not sure. Maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe it's a grower. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anyway, what are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
So we've got our Home of the Hulk section.
Yes.
We'll be discussing the things we've been doing, watching and reading and seeing and stuff this week. We've got our Ant-Man and the Wasp review. We're going to be interviewing Adam MacArthur.
He is a voiceover actor from Disney's Star vs. the Force of Evil. So think like Adventure Time, but with a girl protagonist instead. Okay. With a wand and unicorns and things. It's really good. There's like so much colour and stuff. But it's great. I mean, kids will love it. So yeah.
Okay, cool. And then we got a new segment, Client Book Corner, with your host, Nicola.
Yeah.
And then we got Hot Topics, which this week we got a kind of fun one.
Yeah, why not? Again, after our Moustache Gate one.
Yeah, I like the fun ones.
I like the fun, bizarre
just
ones.
Fun.
Why
don't
not?
Really have to think too much about it, do you?
Indeed.
What cars would you keep in your biscuit tin of dreams? Mm. So this is a reference to Ant-Man.
Yes.
Klee, the pin fella, he has a tin. Tiny
different
cars.
Different car, teeny tiny cars.
He just sort of throws and they become real cars.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't throw them, he puts them on.
And then he puts what is that thing called? Do they even give it a name? Like they throw things. And, yeah. That's a good question.
Thing at the walls and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, so at Home with the Hulks, what have you been watching, reading and doing this week then, Chris?
So doing... you finished your trade event.
Finally.
Yes.
Thank goodness. It feels like it goes on for about a month.
It does go on for about a month.
It pretty much,
a lot
doesn't
of,
prep.
Lead up to it, isn't there? A lot of stress.
Yes.
A lot of late nights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, not as bad as usual this time. Okay. I remember last trade event, I think we left at like 8 or 9 at night.
Okay.
And yeah, that was fun. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, when you think about it, it's like Comic-Con, but for jewellery.
So, if you
think of it that way around, so it's loads of stalls. There's about three halls. Hall one, there's like services. Hall two, there's like brands like Calvin Klein and that kind of thing. And then hall three, it's like literally just shiny things everywhere. It's like a magpie hall. Honestly, you turn around, it's like a dazzle. You're like, whoa. It's actually amazing. So it's like all of the colored gems, all the diamonds and things. Yeah, very pretty things. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You didn't buy anything then?
I did not buy anything. I did want to buy something, but they didn't have any stock with them. They just had what they had on the show. I was like, damn.
Because they're just sort of advertising.
Yeah, well,
online.
It was a new brand. I think it was called By Beal. And they're pretty cool, actually, if you want to go and check them out. No, they're not paying me.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
And,
but if I want to, why not? No, anyway, it was their first show and they didn't have any stock because they were just kind of introducing the brand, if that makes sense. I think they were from France, if I remember. Brightly or Denmark, one of the two, sorry. I cannot remember, but there was this really cool stand by Royal Selangor, and they've recently partnered up with DC and Marvel and Star Wars as well. Yeah, and they've got some really cool figures, and they had this like life-size Han Solo in
carbonite.
Yeah, and you could do like a selfie next to yeah, they're actually made out of pewter. But yeah, we had a look at them, didn't we? And they had a life-size Iron Man, and you were like, oh, I think it was like 14 grand or something crazy. And you were like,
That doesn't sound too bad. I mean,
it had like actual
Iron Man or a car.
But yeah, they had like a anniversary Captain America one as well. They had
more
reasonable size. I'd probably say like 30 centimeters. But yeah, they had Thanos with the gauntlet, and the gauntlet
really
was actual
cool,
like gold with the actual
I can find
stones
that
on
their
it.
Site though.
No, I don't know whether it was new or something. Yeah. But yeah, they got Batman and stuff. But yeah, go check Royal Single out. They're pretty cool people as well. So
yeah, I keep going on that one actually because they're pretty cool. No favoritism.
though. No. Everyone is lovely in the CMJ.
good.
Yes. Anywho, yes. So after the trade event, I had like the 2 days off because I do like 8 days in a row and then have the 2 days off. And I had a cinema day and it was so much fun. I haven't had one of those in ages. So I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I watched Teen Titans and then we watched Ant-Man.
Yes.
Mm. But what have you been doing today?
So today was Pokemon Go Community Day.
Mm.
It's Eevee this time.
Evolutions. Yes.
So we went and did that. Kept getting shiny Eevees. And
you
Nicola
kept getting
was,
the
like,
shinies.
Getting a bit upset, you know.
Well, we've been at it for like an hour and a half or
yeah,
2 hours.
It took you ages
and
to get one.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of the other way around normally.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris normally gets some super last minute and then he's like, whew. But the thing is with Eevee, it's got how many, for like 5 evolutions? Like you got Vaporeon, Porygon, Jolteon, Flareon, which are the normal three, and then right. You've got the Sakura and I can't remember the other two. I'm sure he's called
Umbreon and Espeon.
Yeah, where did I get Sakura from?
I think there's 3 other ones as well, which
okay.
We haven't got yet.
Yeah, so, Umbreon and Espeon.
Yeah. There's quite a lot. So we got to make sure we have enough for when we get those evolutions as well.
Indeed.
But fortunately, we have tomorrow as well,
yes,
which is Sunday,
thankfully.
Which is gone past.
Yes.
But never mind.
We've got to try and get at least 9 because apparently there's some like Gen 5 and Gen 6 evolutions as well.
Yes.
Mm. But the thing is, like when you evolve them, it's like a third of a chance to actually get like Flareon, Umbreon, and Espeon. Not Espeon. Vaporeon, isn't it?
Vaporeon, Jolteon, and
Flareon.
Right.
Sorry, non-Pokemon Go people. You evolved 3 of them and they were all of those 3 and that was crazy. And then I evolved 2 and got 2 Vaporeons. It was like,
Unlucky.
This is not my day.
Yes, but that was good. And we got tomorrow, so that's fine.
Yes. And we had a cheeky Nando's.
Nicola's parents took us to Nando's.
Yes, very nice.
And tasty.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so what have we been watching?
Watching movies. So we watched Equalizer 2 Unlimited Screening.
Yes, it's
so
Cineworld. Thank you very much, Cineworld.
We'll do a little review of that and put that up in a future episode.
Yep.
Watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, obviously.
Obviously. Yes.
Extinction.
Yes. Now, this is a Netflix original film, if I remember correctly.
I believe so. Yes.
Mm, and this also stars
Michael Peña. And then, it's really cool sci-fi film. It's a good concept. You didn't agree?
I thought it was interesting until the twisty. There's the twisty. We're
there's
not going to say what
a
the twisty
plot development
is.
In there, yeah.
Yes. I was a bit like, oh. Okay.
I liked it.
But it was I enjoyed it. I like the sci-fi-ness and the futuristic-ness of it. But I feel like it was very in boxes, if that makes sense. Oh, they're going to fall down here. Oh, this is going to happen now, sort of thing.
Okay, sure. I think that when the plot development twisty thing happens,
yes,
that's kind of a very interesting moral issue / kind of thematic idea, which I think is really interesting.
It definitely got a lot more. I was definitely more involved when it happened. Because at the start, I was like, this is kind of like your usual sci-fi sort of Sunday film. But then when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, this is a little bit more interesting. And I can kind of think about it a little bit more, you know?
It's interesting. Yeah, I think there's 2 angles there. I quite like it when you don't know what's going on because you're like, oh, what's going to happen kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then once you know, usually it's kind of like, oh, okay. But this was kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
So, it went from, oh, okay,
okay. Generally varying okays.
Yeah.
And then we watched Like Father as well.
Yes. This was another new one the other Friday.
Right.
And this featured Kelsey Grammer from Frasier.
Okay.
And also the lady from The Good Place, Kristen Bell.
Yes. Kristen Bell.
I like her. I think she's a really great actress.
Really good.
And this is sort of one of the films that I probably wouldn't have watched just like randomly, but we were like, oh, let's give it a go, sort of thing.
I think this is exactly the kind of thing I'd watch randomly, actually.
Oh, okay. But I really enjoyed it, actually. I mean, it was the whole film was a huge advert for P&O Cruises.
Definitely.
But if you forget that,
Royal Caribbean,
my bad.
Well, that was a bad advert then.
That really worked. It was interesting, though. It did say, you know, at the start, they started doing the rating in the, top left-hand corner. I think it did say sponsored.
Did it?
Yeah, I was like, oh, interesting.
This is
like
new
YouTube sort of.
Yeah, it's a whole new concept, really, isn't it, really?
Mm.
Really.
But yeah, no, it was really good. It was just one of those like heartwarming, nice films sort of thing. And yeah.
Kind of personal development kind of thing.
Yeah.
Going on. Just like a nice fun, it's almost sort of a rom-com type thing, but not really.
But with her dad.
Right.
But no weird Game of Thrones things. No. So no, it's fine.
Don't worry, it's fine.
Would you recommend, which one, Extinction or Like Father from Netflix?
I would recommend both.
Okay.
Depending on what you like. If you like sci-fi,
yes,
go for Extinction. If you like kind of quite chill, rom-com-y type films, yes, I guess,
yeah,
go for Like Father.
There's another one we kind of want to watch, though, isn't there? I can't remember what it's called, though. It's like kind of a apocalyptic end of the world.
Something? Is that
oh, that's the one we do want to see as well. But there's another one. It's about... a father and the son-in-law, and they have to try and find the daughter.
I can't remember, but it sounds good. Sure.
Okay, never mind.
Did that watch?
But I watched, as I said earlier, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and it was something else.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, it was hilarious, but it was a little bit maybe too much for me. I don't know. It'd be great for kids. I bet kids absolutely love this so much. I know it's such a hit. I know it's like a hit TV show, but it was like chocked full of like Easter eggs. And there was like a Stan Lee cameo, which was hilarious. There was, do you know what else was quite funny? Nicolas Cage voiced Superman. And do you remember he was going to do a Superman thing? And there was this weird like homage to, you know, the Lion King opening. It was just really weird.
So it was just like chock-a-block.
Constant. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, okay. Just like hitting you over the head. And it was hilarious. And the story was good. But I kind of like lost a bit of interest towards the end. I don't know whether it was because I'm not like obviously the target market. But I do like DC stuff. So I really enjoy like the Easter eggs and things. But yes.
Okay,
definitely. I don't know. I bet everyone else really loved it, so. I would watch it if you enjoy Teen Titans.
Sure. Did you see any other movies? Is that it for movies?
I think that's it for movies. TV?
TV, right. We watched Handmaid's Tale.
Yes. I think episode 12, I think.
This is the one which had a bit of an outcry of...
What do you mean?
There was a bit of an outcry about what happened in it, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I Googled it and then it was all like, oh my gosh, how could they do this to us? But for me, what happened, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but it wasn't, to me, like a central character.
No.
I mean, what they did was awful, but I wasn't as shocked as I have been previously.
Yeah, I mean, they've given us a lot of this in the past, haven't they? So it's like... Really, you weren't expecting that?
I know. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. It's the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. It's kind of like torture, the show, isn't it?
Yeah, why do we keep watching it?
Entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like one of those weird kind of sadist things.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, I think it's the final this Sunday. So tomorrow. So previously Sunday when this comes out. Yeah, I think episode 13 is the last one.
Wow.
And I don't know what's going to happen. Ooh. You never know with Handmaid's Tale, though. Like, all the rules are thrown out the window, right? So...
Well, generally, it's one step forward, two steps back.
Yes.
So
we've had the step back in the last episode, so I'm hoping there'll be a step forward. I don't know.
And then right at the end, it'll crush you.
Crush your dreams into a million pieces.
Sharp objects?
Sharp objects, yes. If you haven't watched this, get on it. Honestly, you
it's
need
amazing.
To. It's
really
so
good.
Good.
It's just super captivating, but like has these really creepy undertones. It's quite very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. There's just so many things happening, and this like super slowly unraveling things from like her past and stuff.
Yeah, learning about her and her family and the town and what the townspeople kind of believe and stuff. It's almost got a Get Out kind of feel.
Yeah,
into it
definitely.
Almost. Very interesting.
Yes. So it stars Amy Adams from Arrival. We've talked about this previously, but if this is your first listen, then this is a HBO TV show. As you said, stars Amy Adams. And it's kind of about, she's like a journalist and she's reporting on these girls going missing in this like deep south kind of state. And she grew up in this state and you kind of slowly unravel about her past and like secrets of her family and secrets of the town and things. It's really captivating. And you can't take your eyes off because there's so many like splits, like the things happening,
and you get these little clips, very very short interludes of like a clip of what
her past
or just a very quick flash of something random, like a light fixture or something like that, and you're like, what the crap?
What does that even mean? It must mean something.
Tell me what it means.
But it is quite dark, and it's not the happiest, chappiest of TV shows.
No, but it's not kind of gory or anything yet. It's kind of like more of a psychological thing.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, an amazing cast. We've also got the girl from It, the remake of It. She stars in it as the younger Amy Adams. And there's a girl from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Also the guy from, I'm going to forget where it is, Mindy Project. That's the one. Sure. Yeah, so really, really good. And then I recognise the mum. She's quite famous, but I can't pinpoint where she's been from.
Same. Yeah.
But yeah, amazing. And I would highly recommend if you haven't watched it yet. I think it's only about 8 episodes anyway, so it's quite a short one. So that's quite nice.
Yeah, we're up to date already and we didn't.
No, I know. We like demolished it, didn't we? We're like, oh, let's put the next one on. So yes, very binge worthy. Yeah, we have some screeners, but we're not allowed to talk about what they are. But they're very exciting and we will be talking about this in future episodes.
Okay, sure. Started watching the new season of The Real Marigold Hotel.
Yes, BBC. You do like this on BBC, like don't it. You?
It's really fun.
It's got Boris's dad on, which is quite topical at the moment.
Oh, well, what's the whole thing about Boris?
I don't know.
I think it's fine. Say what you want, Boris. Freedom of speech. Yeah, I like that. It's just like oldies going to a different country to see if they could retire there kind of thing. And you get a little glimpse of them. And they kind of seem to come out of the shells a bit and get it's kind of fun. Anyway, also I've been watching the late seasons of Baron Seagold and Deadliest Catch. So.
Chris loves the Discovery Channel.
I do like that channel.
Oh, I mean, what was it? National Geographic we watched when we were in Canada, didn't we? And they had that, like they made weapons. There was a TV show that it had like, it was like Bake Off, but with the... I think that was National Geographic.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, that was great. I love all that stuff. Yes. It's fun.
Very interesting. So yeah, I think that's pretty much everything. Shall we go to the Ant-Man review?
Let's do it. The only chance you've got is both of you.
Ant-Man and the Wasp teaming up.
Follow my lead.
She seems more intense.
So Ant-Man the Wasp flew into cinemas on the 2nd of August in the UK, finally. This film was directed by Peyton Reed, who's previously done the first film, and it stars, we have the usual suspects from the first film. We got Paul Rudd as Scott Lang / Ant-Man. We got Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne / The Wasp, finally. We've got Michael Douglas as Dr. Hank Pym. And then we got some new additions this time, actually. We got Lawrence Fishburne as Dr. Bill Foster. We got Michelle Pfeiffer as Janet Van Dyne / The Wasp. And we've also got Hannah John Kamen as Ava / Ghost.
Yes.
Ooh. So what is the synopsis for the film then, Chris?
As Scott Lang balances being both a superhero and a father, Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym present an urgent new mission that finds the Ant-Man fighting alongside the Wasp to uncover secrets from their past.
Ooh. Very nice. So what were your initial thoughts going in and coming out of the cinema then, Chris?
Right, well, I enjoyed the first one, so I expected something along the same lines, really. Yeah. Wasn't super hyped, but I was looking forward to it.
Okay.
And then sort of coming out of it, I thought it was good fun, you know? I really liked a lot of the characters, including the bad guy.
Okay.
Just good fun time, you know? Lots of laughs and whatnot. Decent enough story.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
So I love the first film. I was actually, it was one of those films that I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it was a pleasant surprise. So I was really excited about this one until they delayed it because of the World Cup. And I've put, down here in caps lock. So yeah, I wasn't very pleased about that. I feel like the excitement has waned because it's been such a long time since it was released in the US. So maybe. I was a bit not that excited. But obviously it's a Marvel film. So yes. I was a little... Going in, I was like, meh. And then the Marvel screen came up, and I was like, oh, okay.
I'm in, I'm back.
I'm back. So sorry, Marvel.
Where did I go? Yeah.
But after seeing the film, I thought, it was a whole lot of fun, like a genuine fun time. Loved the characters, as you said. Loved the shrinking and enlargingness. I thought that was a great aspect. But it felt like the most Disney of all the Marvel films.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I feel like it was the most sort of targeted to kids, maybe.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, so performances and characters.
Yeah, so Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, Scott. Yes.
Scotty.
I think he's super funny. You know, same character, but yes. Great. Really enjoy him.
He's in house arrest at the moment.
Yes, because of his escapades in Civil War.
Yes.
Yeah, he was great. He's great. He's super funny. What about Evangeline Lilly?
Oh, it was great to see her as the Wasp finally, I thought.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure about her as the Wasp. Initially, but then I saw her and I was like, yeah, it's cool, okay. That's fine. I liked her character. Yeah. and more than I expected to. So that was good.
Yeah.
Michael Peña, Luis.
Oh, he's my favorite. He's so good. And she's sad, and then he's sad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic.
My favorite character too.
Possibly best supporting character should in the Oscars, maybe.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. Yeah, I just really loved his storytelling interludes, as you interluded then.
And truth serum scene. Look out for that one. It's just great.
It went on for quite a while, that one. But yeah,
it was good.
It was good. Walton Goggins.
Yeah, so this was a new addition. Wasn't in it for that long, I don't think.
No,
But
I think
plays,
he's great.
He plays bad guy pretty well, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a great baddie. He was great in The Shield and Justified.
Yes.
I really like him. I like his style, you know. Hannah John Kamen.
Oh, Ghost. So this is a new big bad.
Yes, British.
She was quite, yes. Oh, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Guys, we're not all bad. I thought she was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a nice little kind of flavour to it.
It's
a little bit different to it.
It's an interesting one to kind of look at, like Iron Man's character. He kind of, he was thinking about things that he'd done that had affected other people.
Right.
And it's kind of like the same thing with Ghost. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's kind of like that examination
of inner turmoil there. Yeah. A bit more interesting backstory than just your standard kind of psychopathic bad guy that just wants to kill
like
everyone.
There's a reason. Know? And right. Yeah, he is very much justified, I think.
Yeah, a bit more believable, I think, than quite a lot of bad guys.
And cool effect.
Yeah, I really like the effect. That was good. Abby Ryder Fortson.
Oh, Cassie. The kid, Cassie. Oh, yeah, she's lovely.
She's super cute,
isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. Randall Park, Jimmy Woo.
Oh, he was hilarious.
I like that guy a lot.
Yeah.
He was actually probably second on my list. Like,
oh, okay.
Really
second
funny.
Supporting character sort of thing. Yeah. So he played, was he FBI or something? Was he just local police?
I'm not sure if it was police or FBI.
But he was like working on Scott's... case, wasn't he? So he kept checking up on him if anything happened to his ankle bracelet.
Right.
And he was kind of like waiting for him to do something bad.
For him to slip up, yeah.
And there was this one great scene, super quickly to go into it. So Scott learnt like sleight of hand magic.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Woo kept going, "How did you do that?" It was really good.
Super, super good. Because that would never happen, but it was super fun. Lawrence Fishburne, Dr. Bill Foster.
Not in it enough for me.
No,
I don't know about you. He is always going to be a legend to me.
Yep.
So he's aged well, though, I think.
Okay, sure. Mm. If you say so, Nicola.
I don't feel like I can say... Excuse me. What are you saying?
I really like the guy.
Yeah.
But you're right. He wasn't in it for very long. But it was fun. No. I enjoyed it.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Old Mama Wasp. Yeah, she was good. She looked the part. She was right. She wasn't in it.
She was
right.
Again,
much.
Same thing as Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, they had some amazing actors in here, like the stellar cast.
Right.
But very underused. But I think she'll be in future things.
Yeah.
Without spoiling anything.
Sure.
Yes.
I think it was all right. And Michael Douglas. Dr. Hank Pym. Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, he was all right. He plays Michael Douglas well, doesn't he?
Yeah. That is true.
No, he's good. I feel like we saw another side to him in this, which was interesting.
Yeah, a bit more
human.
Caring.
Yeah,
humans,
especially when
sure.
Because the whole film was about them searching for Janet, so Mama, as you said.
Mama Wasp. Yeah.
So yeah, it was nice to see him kind of come out a little bit more, not be such a arsehole.
Yeah,
scientist.
I agree.
Yes.
It was better. It was better, I think. So story?
I thought it felt very safe, very much like the first film.
Yes.
When I first read about, like, you know, sometimes they do like articles on what it's going to be like and things. I read somewhere that this was going to be the first like Marvel romantic film, like rom-com. And I was that could be interesting. But no, it didn't
there
quite.
There was a little bit of an air of that, maybe.
A little bit. But you know, like the first one was very sort of heist sort of film, wasn't it? He went in and stole the suit and came out. Whereas I don't feel like this one had a defined sort of it's gonna be this kind of thing, which I guess is good. It doesn't pigeonhole itself, but it wasn't quite what I thought it was gonna be.
Okay,
but I enjoyed it. Yeah, I loved I really enjoyed exploring like the quantum zone and things, so it was an interesting aspect of the whole shrinky dinky things and large things. Yeah. That was great. So yeah, I did enjoy it. I thought it was just a good bit of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun story. Lots of laughs. Like you say, it was a bit safe, but I think it was fine.
I kind of like how it wasn't bogged down by having to tie into things as well,
yeah,
which was quite nice. I mean, after Infinity War, it was just so like serious and the end of the world sort of thing. And then you had Ant-Man and it's nice and fun. And it was, I think it's kind of what we needed after Infinity War.
Sure. I think there's some good concepts in it as well, like the tiny buildings and vehicles and stuff. I thought that was really cool.
I love the pigeon bit. That was good.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming.
I just like seeing, obviously there were like rally cars, right? When they're filming it.
Yeah.
Just seeing rally cars go down like Los Angeles roads and things, which is really fun.
Sure. Yeah, had a good villain. Had lots of mumbo-jumbo pseudo-science-y concepts.
Yes.
Which were a bit daft. Like shrinking down to the quantum levels and like there was some sort of psychic possession thing going on at one point and then psychic tracking.
But I felt like they kind of like brought that up though. Like because at one point Scott was like, do you guys put quantum before everything?
Yeah.
I was like, I see what you're doing.
Hanging a lantern on the fact that it wasn't being clever.
Exactly.
But it's not trying to be clever.
No.
And it did point that out, so it's cool. I think it's fine. Anything else to say about story? I mean, without spoiling anything?
I don't think so.
I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah. You know? I don't think you need to know too much about the story for this film, really.
No. Visuals?
Wow. There were some great visuals, wasn't there? Like the Pez, the giant Pez. I think my favourite one, though, it will be in our Hulk topic later, but Hank had like a biscuit tin. I don't think it was a biscuit tin.
It was like
a Hot Wheels tin, and it had like these Hot Wheels cars in there, and they just like enlarged them, and it was just great. And I loved the building as a suitcase.
Really cool.
Like making everything large and then small. It was just fun. I really liked that bit. And I think the visual effects were really, really good, actually.
Yeah, I think it looked really good. Pretty good, we'll say pretty good. It was mostly visual effects. There wasn't much like clever stuff, really. It was...
okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was all post and stuff. Nothing really amazing by today's standards. Like you say, I would call it safe.
Yeah.
You know? I think Ghost had a cool design.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like the way she moved and everything was cool as well. The look and the movement.
Yeah.
I liked. And the machine they built looked kind of cool. And stuff like that. Otherwise, you know, it was okay. It was
what
good.
About the quantum realm? What did you think of the look of that?
It looks really nice, yeah.
I like seeing the, what were they called?
Tardigrade type things, yeah.
It made me laugh how they brought Boss that up. I just thought of, was it Doctor Who that they had tardigrade?
Star Trek.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, wow. Completely the wrong fandom there. Yeah, I just kind of like how they brought it. But before I watched Star Trek, I didn't know that these things existed.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, oh, tardigrade. I know what that is. Yeah, they were kind of cute until they tried to eat things and you're like, whoa. Right, so rating, I guess.
Rating. I would give it one thumbs up. I thought it was fun. Ooh. Lots of laughs. Standouts were Louise and his storytelling moments.
And seeing his hair. That was great.
Some of the moments where Scott met Jimmy Woo, the police fella.
Yes.
And yeah, nothing particularly groundbreaking, like I said, but enjoyable nonetheless.
Oh.
That post-credits endo.
Shall I do my rating and then we'll do this, go into spoiler land? I think 1 or 1.5. It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I really enjoyed it and thought it was fun, but comparing it to other Marvel films, it doesn't really rate that high.
It places itself as kind of like a more
fun
in-betweeny kind of film, right?
True.
It's not main, you wouldn't really call it main series.
No, so. I mean, I think the next big one's going to be Captain Marvel, isn't it? So this was probably
sort of to get in the gap there and it's
fun. Indeed. But yeah, great characters, so funny. Loved all the cars, loved the Pez. Really enjoyable film, but did feel very Disney-esque, so maybe a great one for the kids since it's summer. What's the word? Summer holidays, that's the one. I would go and take the kids and enjoy it.
Good.
Yes, so spoiler warning
for the post-credit scene.
Yes.
Yeah, so what do you think?
So we had two. Yes.
The second one is garbage, don't wait for it.
Yes, don't. But although I called both of them though, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I thought it was funny though. Like, we had quite a good audience again. I don't know if you've... But there were these two girls who walked in right at the end.
That was funny.
Like,
it was literally the last 5 minutes of the film. I hope they weren't going to see the same film.
But the thing was, they stood there for quite a while. They actually sat down and they were watching it and until the actual end credits came up and then they were like, Maybe we should leave.
Maybe they just were embarrassed to.
Maybe. They were like, oh, the shame. But yes, post-credit scene. So, yeah. First one was the major one that obviously connects it to the larger MCU. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so Scott goes back into the thing for whatever reason.
Quantum realm. He's trying to collect
quantum dust or whatever they come up with.
The ghost.
Quantum energy for ghost to keep her phased or whatever.
Yes.
And then all his family get vaporized.
Wow. And he's stuck there forever.
Yeah. He can't get out.
That's pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal, given the...
circumstances.
Yeah, given...
given that it was like half the population and all three of them.
Let me finish, okay?
Oh, sorry. You stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Given the tone of the film, it's very fun, lighthearted. To have that at the end, it's kind of a bit of a downer, isn't it? It's like, whoa.
Debbie Downer.
This just got serious. Yeah, it was. It felt a bit powerful.
Mm. I feel like the odds were very much against them.
Yeah,
That was really harsh.
All three of them.
Yeah. But obviously, Anton Deck. Scott Lang is still alive, but he's trapped in there. So is he going to be one that... are they going to find him again? Does anyone know he's there?
Will his aunt save him?
Well, they kept changing the name.
Maybe that was the point of the second post-credit scene.
Oh, okay.
His aunt's back home, so he's going to come.
Yeah, maybe.
He's going to come push the button for him.
But surely Louise or someone knows that he's there, right?
I don't know. You would hope so.
Yeah, but, unless they were dusted. Ooh, dear.
Yeah, what are they calling it now? Dusted.
I don't know. <That's good. laughs> Another one bites the dust. That was quite... oof.
Yeah.
Because I read, annoyingly, articles on Twitter. They just come up and they have it in the headline and you can't not see it. And it was just like, that post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And it didn't say anything else. And I was like, oh no, oh
what's
no.
<gonna happen? laughs> Yeah, you did warn me beforehand that it was going to be...
a bit brutal.
A bit brutal
sad.
Or something. Yeah.
So that was kicking teeth. Anyway, second one.
Second one was just the ant playing the drums, which we'd already seen in the film.
Why?
I don't understand.
Why?
Unless there's something hidden in it.
Maybe.
Do you think there's something?
They've never put a post-credit scene in that's in the trailer. I feel robbed. We waited all that time.
Yeah, I feel like there must be something in there that we missed, because why would you do that?
Was he wearing like a tracker or something? Was he linked to him? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, what do you think of the post-credit scenes? Let us know on Twitter. Ooh. At We Have a Hope.
Yeah.
Comic book corner with Nicola.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be talking about comics for like 5 minutes because Chris doesn't like them. So I'm just going to be talking about what I've been reading for the past week and what I recommend and things.
Sure.
So I've downloaded Death of the Inhumans, issue 1 and 2. Fantastic Four, issue 1. Pretty exciting. It's been a couple of years since Fantastic Four are back on the scene.
Mm.
Exiles, issue 6. Domino, issue 5. And The Amazing Spider-Man, issue 3.
Okay. Is that the same Domino from
Deadpool. It's a really, really good series, actually.
Okay.
You should maybe read it if you get the chance. Death of the Inhumans, I'll start with. So this is Donny Cates. So as you probably all know, I really love Donny Cates. I think he's great. A little bit behind on this. I know the second issue came out, so I downloaded both of them. And it's just super shocking. So the Inhumans were created by the Kree.
Right.
So basically there was a huge war between the Kree and the Skrull. And so they were kind of genetically modified Neanderthal sort of thing,
right.
To kind of make them into inhumans, to join them to their army to fight in the big war. But now they kind of broke free and they're like their own people. There's like 5 tribes of the inhumans. And you know, Black Bolt and Lockjaw and that lot. And all of a sudden, the Kree want them back. And they're like, no, we are our own people. Things get serious really quickly. It did. Yeah. So issue 1, very shocking in both issues. There were a number of deaths of some close to my heart.
Really?
That I was really sad about. Because they got this new big bad on the scene and it doesn't seem like any of them can actually like defeat him. Okay. And there's been rumors that he's maybe like a symbiote or something.
Right.
So he's got these crazy powers and stuff. And he's basically tasked.
Like Venom.
He's basically tasked to bring them back to the Kree. So they either have to, like, basically surrender or they're going to die, like, fighting them. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting and really, really good. If you like Donny Cates, then you'll love this series. So very much enjoying it, but, like, loads of shocks and I'm not sure what's going to happen. Because, you know, with comic books, they're not going to stay dead forever, hopefully. Right. but, yeah, just... Whew. just crazy. And then we had Fantastic Four, issue one. So I don't remember how many years. I want to say like five or six years,
yeah.
Yeah, since we've actually saw them back together. We've had the two-in-one. So we've had Marvel two-in-one. So we've had The Thing and the Human Torch.
Right.
And they've been basically trying to find Reed and Susan because they had family and then they went off together to save the world. Never came back. so it's kind of tying into that. The two-in-one hasn't quite finished yet. So I'm not sure how that's going to finish because it's gone balmy. They've gone on to... Do you remember that universe in Old Man Logan?
Right.
Where they were all fighting against each other. There was like a pit and they went to that universe.
Okay.
Things just went crazy. Spider-Man was mental and like Deadpool and... Yeah. Insane. Anyway, we got Fantastic Four issue one. Not sure how this is going to kind of tie into two in one. Really enjoyed this. We got Dan Slott, who everyone knows as quite a famous like Spider-Man writer. He's currently doing Iron Man, which might be worth you reading. It's quite interesting.
Okay.
Dara Pacelli as well. Scotty Young did a little bit. So it's split into three segments. The first one was hinting that they're returning. I'm not going to spoil anything. It's hard to kind of talk about it without spoiling things. we had another bit. So the second segment was about Victor Von Doom. Mm-hmm. And where he came from, you know, the creepy castle and things. That was kind of interesting. And then we had a third section with Scotty Young, who's one of my favorite artists. I think he's really cool. I love his art. And that was hilarious. It was basically like, oh, you thought you were expecting this. So yeah, it was a really good issue and I'm very much looking forward to the second one for reasons.
Because reasons.
Hard to say without spoiling anything, but yes. And then we had Amazing Spider-Man issue 3. I love this. I think it's great. Obviously huge Spider-Man fan anyway, so but I think like towards the end I started reading, kind of went in and out of reading Spider-Man when Dan Slott was on it. There were just so many tie-ins and so many events and things. I kind of lost sort of momentum with it. Does that make sense? Because you had to keep buying lots of different ones. Yeah. So lost a little bit of interest. But now we've got a new creative team. We've got Spencer and Otley. I think Otley is really, really great on this. He draws Spider-Man. He's one of my favourites to draw Spider-Man, actually, which is saying quite a big thing since he's like a new artist.
Okay.
Mm. Cool. But yeah, an interesting story. So basically, there's this new science... lab.
New science.
Here we go. they got this new technology and they're kind of testing it out.
Blockchain.
He has to go back to college to do his like degree thing because they found out it was someone else who did. Like, it's very someone was him for a while.
Sure.
Yeah. So Dr. Kurt Connors is back as the Lizard and he's teaching him, of course.
Right.
But he's basically contained like the Lizard part of him. So he's like a tutor and he's discovered this new like technology and it can kind of contain like the bad. Basically they're doing like experiments whether they can split something into, because he doesn't want to be like a bad guy like the Lizard.
Yeah.
So he wants to take the Lizard part out of him, if that makes sense.
He wants to fork it.
Yes. And basically Peter Parker coincidentally split him and Spider-Man up.
Okay.
When he was fighting some bad guys and he was like, oh, whoops. So this new technology, it works, but he can't tell anyone because then it will be like, oh, so you're Spider-Man sort of thing.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
I love distributed ledger technology, so
yeah.
That's cool.
but it's really good. I mean, it's obviously it's not going to, because he's really happy about it because now he can be with MJ and he can be like a normal person. But then he's kind of missing like the speed and the strength.
All the coolness in his life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's like, oh, this could be like my happy ending. And you're like, come on, guys, this is Spider-Man. It's never going to be a happy ending sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get on with that one. I'd be like, why would you want to be normal? And
yeah, well, he's just got back together with MJ and bad things have happened and he kind of wants that part of his life kind of gone, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, he's missing it. I mean, he's super slow. and things, and he's missing, like, you know, the webs and things. So yeah, I bet they're probably gonna get back together at some point. But the interesting thing is, like, Kurt Connors was saying, like the experiment hasn't, like, been properly tested, and there could be side effects and things, and he's right. Like, oh no. So yeah, I'm not sure how it's gonna go. Yeah, very interesting. But yeah, they would be my three that I've read this week. I do need to catch up on Domino and also Exiles, but I really, really like them. Once again, another Marvel week, sorry. But I really do like Marvel books, I'm sorry. I'll maybe pick up some good DC ones soon. But yes, they were my three picks, and I would highly recommend them.
Cool.
So I hope you enjoyed that new segment. Thank you. So this week we're joined by special guest Adam MacArthur, who plays Marco on Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Woohoo!
Which is on the Disney Channel, and it is pretty wacky and great. So if you enjoy, like, Adventure Time and things, go and check this out. Yeah, we've got a female heroine in this one instead. Right. So it's Star, so that's pretty cool. Marco is the sidekick, so it's nice. There's a bit of role reversal there. But yeah, there's, like, unicorns and rainbows and things. So very visual. But they've just finished doing the season 4, so that's going to be out soon. So look out for that one. So yes, if you love the show, really hope you enjoy. Welcome Adam MacArthur to the show, who voices Marco Diaz in Star vs. the Forces of Evil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just making my way all over Los Angeles today in this hot, hot heat. Doing my best.
Nice. So first question, how was San Diego Comic-Con?
Comic-Con was amazing. Comic-Con is such a cool experience. It's really nice to go to a place where everyone has something in common, whether it's this show or that show or whatnot. It's like we're all there as fans and excited to see cool stuff. So for me personally, I love all the fan interaction and the panels and all the press and all that stuff. It's so much fun.
Did you nerd out to anyone if you met them?
Let's see. Who did I? I didn't really get to meet. Did I meet anyone this year? Last year I met Weird Al, and it's really hard to top Weird Al. trying to think if I met anyone, like, in the green room or backstage or anything like that, and I don't know that I did this year, actually. I mean, other than, like, Mary Ev Harrington, who voices Tilly on Big City Greens, which is a new Disney show. There's, like, I mean, some other, like, voice actors from Disney. I mean, obviously, Esme Bianco was on our panel. She voices Eclipse on Star. And while we've met in the past, it's cool at Comic-Con because we get a lot of hangout time. We get to, we're not only doing the panel, we're doing all the press and all that stuff. So I didn't necessarily, like, fanboy out too hard on anybody, but it's still cool getting to meet all these people that I'm like, wow, you do this, wow, you do that. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. So it was announced 4th season. Is there anything you can tell us about the new series at all?
Gosh, well, I'm contractually forbidden from giving you any spoilers whatsoever.
No.
But at Comic-Con, it's like the worst. Trust me. We actually, yesterday, I just finished the season finale episode, recording the season finale episode of season 4. So I literally know everything. I know everything that happened. And I can tell you nothing. I cannot tell you one little thing. Although, at Comic-Con, we did preview, like, a little clip from season 4. It was the first time we had shown anything from season 4. And one of the, like, little things that people weren't talking about or didn't really catch on to super fast was that Star, in that clip, Star Butterfly was using her magic powers without her wand, which is not something we've ever seen. And there are some big implications for the fact that that is happening. And there's a lot of a lot of questions surrounding that. So that's the one thing that I can tell you that you're gonna see, and you're not gonna want to miss it because the way that season 4 wraps is completely unexpected.
Okay. So yep. How did you get into character for Marco?
That's a great question. Marco and I are pretty similar. Marco is basically me reliving my junior high and high school years. So it's been, he's a safe kid. He likes to play by the rules, but he's a really loyal guy. And he's down for adventure. He wants to be the bad boy, even though he's really kind of just not. So as far as getting into character, I mean, he does martial arts, so it's always really easy for me to kind of snap back into Marco just by thinking about him saying things like "Hi-ya!" or, you know, like "Whoa!"
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all it takes.
Fair enough. So a lot of the fans are shipping Starco, but we've also got Tomko. Who would you say you're sitting with?
Oh, gosh, yeah, we've got... I mean, I think there are people who ship Marco with literally every other character in the series, which is great. Yeah, we've got Tomko, we've got Starco, we've got Kelko, we've got Jan... Well, Jan Tom is Jan and Tom, but we've got Janko, we've got... what else do we have? We have... gosh, there's more. There's even more. And I am not shy about this on my Twitter, on my Instagram. Everybody knows I am a Starco shipper till the day I die.
Fair enough. So what would you say has been your favorite episode so far? I mean, there's just so many, but have you got a favorite?
Yeah, there's been a lot of really fun episodes, and gosh, picking one. You know what's funny is I've been asked this question many, many times, and I have a go-to answer, and it still holds true. But it's getting to be a more difficult question to answer than previous because season 3 was chock full of so many good episodes. Season 2 also, but I would have to say that my favorite episode to record was an episode called Running with Scissors. And it's we see an adult version of Marco in that episode as well as regular Marco.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to voice adult Marco as well, and that was a lot of fun. So it was fun from an acting standpoint to get to do both characters in one episode.
Yeah, definitely. So can you talk us through a recording session? Do you get to record with anyone else and have a bit of fun, or is it just you in a booth?
So it's typically just me. Although we did just recently, we had an ensemble record and we had a majority of the cast there. Esme was there, Eden was there, Abby Elliott, who voices Jana, was there, Jenny Slate, who voices Ponyhead, was there, Ryder Strong, who voices Tom, was there. Who else am I forgetting? Dana Davis was there, who voices Kelly. So that was a lot of fun. Getting everyone together. I think we got a lot less done than we normally do. I think the session was a lot less efficient. But normally, that was definitely, you know, out of the norm, sort of a unique experience. But typically we record solo. Occasionally Eden and I will read together if there's like a really, really big scene that we need each other for. Ryder and I have recorded some of the music stuff together. But typically it's just me. And then on the other side of the glass is Kelly Ward, who's our voice director for the show. He's a fantastic, fantastic voice director, incredible actor and dancer and a million other things. He's a very, very talented guy. He's the voice director. And then either Darren or Dominic or one of the other EPs will be there as well. Or the directors for the specific episodes will be on the other side of the glass. And then we've got our engineer and our script supervisor, which always rotate out. We recorded this awesome place called Out Loud Audio. It's in Burbank. And there's two types of sessions that I'll do. The first one is recording a new episode. So I'm not seeing any animation during that. I'm literally just, you know, reading through the script, reading each line a few different ways, taking direction from Kelly or Dominic or Darren, whoever happens to be there. And then we go through the whole script that way. And then that gets shipped off, it gets animated, and then it gets sent back. In the meantime, while it's getting animated, all the writers and all that stuff have given notes, and some stuff has been rewritten and all that. So they'll call me in, and I'll do some ADR. And ADR is when everything's already animated, so Marco's mouth will already have movement to it, and then I'll go in and re-record new lines and have to match how his mouth is moving. So, you know, the line before might have been like, "Star, come back and give me a hug." But now the line gets changed to, "Star, I told you, I don't like hugs." So So I'll have to say it sort of in the same time frame and same mouth movements as I originally said it. So for those kind of recordings, I'm actually watching animation happen. I'm hearing beeps for timing in my ears, and then I have to say it at a certain point and do it all for timing. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds so much more to it than I actually imagined.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's when you watch a cartoon, you kind of are just sucked into the story and you don't really think much more of it. I mean, I've always loved cartoons, and that's sort of just how I did it too. Although I was sitting there imitating the voices while I watched. But, you know, working on a show, it's incredible how collaborative animation production is and how important everyone is. And there's a lot of unsung heroes in animation. I mean, you know, I enjoy doing these kind of things, the podcast and the interviews and the PR and all that stuff. And I would be, you know, not doing the show as a whole justice if I didn't, you know, give a shout out to Disney casting and
yeah, definitely
Sarah Sherman and Rachel Glauber and like all these people who spend countless hours making sure that everything's casted, you know, or cast perfectly. And then, of course, you got the crew that works on the show and then the executives who oversee the show. I mean, it's a massive team, and everybody is so collaborative and works together so nicely that it's really fun to be a part of something like that.
So at the moment, I don't know if you've noticed, there's quite a rise in like animated comedy. So you got Disenchantment on Netflix. You got like Archer, Rick and Morty, Adventure Time. What would you say why you think it's been so popular at the moment?
That's a great question. It could be a couple of things. You know, it could be the ease of making stuff. Like the technology on the back end has gotten more efficient, so you can make shows more quickly. You know, and then you have this new sort of idea of viewing that a lot of these big companies are trying out, you know, with the whole binge thing where, you know, they'll release a bunch of episodes at once, but the ability to do that and have a platform like a Netflix. And I know you guys don't have Hulu there, but we have Hulu here. It's sort of like another Netflix platform. But like these companies are making it possible for, I don't know, just more content, and even YouTube and YouTube Red and all that stuff. I think, you know, I think maybe the fans have always been there. It's just been difficult to get them the content that they want. And then, of course, when you have a great show like Rick and Morty, people are more willing to give other animated stuff a chance. And, you know, it's just sort of the cycle and all of it kind of works together. I think we are in, I was just talking to somebody about this, and they were telling me that the 80s was the heyday of cartoons and animation. And like, you know, I think we actually might be in the heyday because there is so much good stuff out right now.
Definitely, yeah. So other than the obviously Star vs. the Puzzle of Evil, what would you say your favorite animated show is at the moment?
Ooh, good question. Okay, how to answer this correctly.
Yes.
You know, I go in waves. Actually, hands down, my favorite animated show right now is My Hero Academia.
Okay.
And I just sort of recently came to some anime stuff. The fandom for anime is so huge, and obviously the way Star vs. the Forces of Evil looks, there is a slight anime influence. So I've seen some like crossover fans, and I have a lot of people ask me like, "Oh, do you watch anime? Do you watch anime?" And I hadn't really previously watched anime, so I started getting some recommendations, and earlier this year I finished Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and now I watch My Hero Academia regularly, and so I would have to say that is probably my current favorite animated show.
Nice.
Although I do pretty much watch a little bit of everything, just to keep up and support my fellow voice actors and, you know, watch tone and see. So when I get auditions for these shows, I obviously, you know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So are you working on anything else at the moment?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. And again, the problem with voiceover is I basically sign your life away and say you won't talk about anything until it comes out. So I can't necessarily talk about anything, but there are a couple of video game projects coming, some little parts on some other animated series, and yeah, and obviously season 4 of Star is, we're not too far off, and yeah, I'm excited for everyone to see all the good stuff that's coming.
Awesome. So where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. My username is @ninjamac, NINJAMAC. You can also find me over on Twitter @_AdamM, so ADAMM. Don't forget the underscore at the beginning. And yeah, I try to be pretty responsive, and you know, make sure I'm reading what people are commenting and interacting and stuff like that. I really enjoy doing that. So yeah, you guys can find me there, ask me questions, just say hi, whatever you want.
Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to season 4.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Hulk topic time. In this Hulk topic, we asked you guys on Twitter, we'd like to know which cards you keep in your biscuit tin of dreams, real or from pop culture.
Yeah.
Yes, inspired by Ant-Man and the Wasp, obviously, course, because they had that little round Hot Wheel thingy-ma-bobby. That was amazing. And one of the best bits of the film, personally.
Yeah, I think it was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, thank you everyone that responded. We love your answers. Some of them are fabulous, actually.
Cool.
So first up, we got Cotley at Cotley. He said, the bed from Bedknobs and Broomsticks count? Lol. Nice. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you were kids, right, you had a film that you played over and over again. Yeah, yeah. This was my sister's film. Like, if we were on holiday or if we were ill, she would just put Bedknobs and Broomsticks on all the time. So I would class that as a vehicle. It's a very key character in that film. Sure. So why not?
I mean, we did specify car, but I think but vehicles of all types count, really.
True. Good call. So Nerds Chatting at Nerds Chatting. I'm going to say every Ford Mustang that was ever built, however specifically the one Steve McQueen drove in Bullet.
Ooh,
I do like a good Mustang.
Yes, those American muscle cars.
Yes, very, very nice.
Definitely on my list.
Yes. what was the film with Nicolas Cage? Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah,
that's a nice Mustang. Sure. Jack and the Geek's Dog at Jack Geek's Dog said, so many... The A-Team van, Knight Rider, Bigfoot monster truck. What? Okay, what's a Bigfoot monster truck?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. The DeLorean, of course. And Mac 5, I could go on. Which I am Jack's irregular musings responded. Achievable cars I love to drive would be gone in 60 seconds. Shelby Mustang GT500, brackets. Yes, I had to look it up. Or Goldfinger's DB5. Fictional doesn't get any better than Kit, so that's the Knight Rider car, right? Yep. So some amazing cars there, actually.
Yeah, good ones.
Good picks. And then he's put a really cute picture of him in the Knight Rider thing. It's sick. And dressed up as Superman, of course.
Of course.
Amazing.
Just mixing your
fandoms.
Fandom.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Spice it up a bit. So Marcus, at the Marco guy, always has the best answers. Optimus Prime.
I love that.
You
that's
can't
cool.
really go wrong with a Transformer, right?
Right. But then you'd want them all, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, how many are there? I don't know.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You filled at least half a biscuit in there. That's fine.
It's 20th Century Geek _ pod said, a couple of faves, 89 Batmobile, Kit, Ford Mustang GT500, and Judge Lawmaster. Wow. Mm. So many things. Look at that Lawmaster.
Wow.
That is impressive. Okay, fair play. Some nice picks there. So Lee Westney at Westney 1979 said, any of the cars from Mask, Hot Rod from Transformers the Movie, 1986 version, DeLorean, Ovs, nice. Lola, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Tumbler. I am Jack's regular musings responded, I love Hot Rod, always my fave Transformer. Okay, mine would be Bumblebee, personally. Sure. I don't know about you, but I suppose that's a good option.
I'd probably go with Bumblebee as well, actually. Yeah.
So yeah, that was everyone's favourite cars on Twitter. Thank you everyone for responding. Christopher, what would you go for?
Well, I'd probably go for DeLorean and some of these other choices as well. I'd probably put, like, generally lots of American muscle cars in there from, like, the 50s and 60s kind of area.
Era? Okay.
Because I just think they look really cool, and cars just don't look the same now, do they? They're just kind of boring. Included in that, I'd put a 67 Chevy Impala.
Oh.
The one that was in Supernatural.
Supernatural, I was about to say. What's it called again?
67 Chevy Impala.
Yeah, but doesn't it have a name, the car? Does the car have a name?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure the car... Okay, never mind. Sorry. Anyway, carry on.
I'd also probably throw in like a G6 or some sort of private jet. Because vehicles, right? I
mean, because vehicles. Okay.
And, what else?
A Tesla?
Yeah. Ooh, Tesla.
Did
sure.
you forget a Tesla? Oh, dear. I think that's enough for today, maybe.
Okay, I could probably come up with quite a few, but yeah.
Okay.
Fair what enough. About you?
The Mystery Machine.
Yeah.
Bit of a classic. Always wanted a camper van, so why not?
Was that a camper van?
Yeah. Well, it was a van of sorts. I'm not sure whether it was a camper van.
I always thought it was more like a white van.
Oh, really? That's kind of creepy. Oh, no, Chris, what have you done?
Maybe it's a camper van. Maybe it's a camper van.
So rude.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Obviously, Knight Rider as well. That car is amazing. So, Kit.
Yep.
Obviously, one from Fast and the Furious. That's a Mustang, right? You know, the one that Vin Diesel drives.
I'm not sure, but probably.
It's a big muscle car, isn't it? Right. Car, yeah. I'd definitely go for that one. I wouldn't go for the one that Paul Walker. Paul Walker.
Yeah. Those were more like rally cars.
They were like Hot Wheel cars. No. Not for me. No, give me the Mustang.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, obviously Batmobile as well. Mm. That's pretty iconic.
But which Batmobile? One of the new one.
I like the Tumbler one. I think that was pretty cool.
Sure, yeah.
Why not?
Bat wing? There's lots of bat things, right?
Yeah. I mean, why not just go for all of them? Yeah. You can't go wrong with that, really, can you?
Sure, I mean, you got space in your tin.
Yeah,
right?
True. Yeah. Well, why not? Right, yes, I think there are our picks.
Yeah, thanks for playing along, guys. Appreciate it.
Look out for next week's Hog Topics. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, guys. Really hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to get into contact with us to take part in any Hawk topics, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
So you can find us on Twitter at We Have a Hawk Pod. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at We Have a Hawk Pod. You can also find us on YouTube / We Have a Hawk. We're also on Steemit and D Live at We Have a Hawk. And we have a blog.
We Have a Hawk. We Have a Blog.
.co.uk.
Yes.
We have a blog.co.uk. Not yes. We have a blog.co.uk.
Very, very nice. So if you want the latest film reviews and news and interviews and our podcasts, head there. Also, we are on, if you want to find us on any other sort of platforms, we are on pretty much everywhere. So iTunes, Spotify, Podomatic, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those friendly faces.
Sure.
Yes. And if you'd like to leave us a nice review on iTunes, we will love you forever.
That would be very nice. Thank
yes.
you.
So thank you once again for listening. If you are a new listener, go and check out our back catalogue with lots of different interviews with DC and Marvel people.
Yes. And most importantly, give us a subscribe.
Yes, please do. And if you're returning, we love you very, very much from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes, very, very much so. So what are we going to be talking about in next week's episode then, Chris?
So.
Undecided, really.
Undecided. Yes. We have a couple of movie reviews we could share. So Equalizer 2 and Incredibles 2.
Mm.
So one or both of those,
yes.
depending on
what we feel like. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, sorry, been rambling enough and taking up enough of your time. So once again, really hope you enjoyed this podcast and thank you so, so much for listening. Hope to see you next time.
Bye.